79 times with 333 allusions. Somebody counted. Second is Isaiah, which is cited 66 times with 348 allusions. And Deuteronomy, 50 citations with 164 allusions. The Psalms are the most quoted Old Testament book in our New Testament. More than Isaiah, more than the law. Let that sink in as well. As we, and I'm giving you this, and it's all well and good. And it's all information for information's sake. But it's information that I hope will shape us a little bit as we continue to journey through the Psalms as to the profound power that they have within them. If Jesus and Paul, which by the way, the Psalms would have been the hymnals of Jesus and Paul, if they found them to be that important, how do you think we should feel about them as well? Dead Sea Scrolls are New Testament scriptures. The Psalms are a driving force behind them. There's power there if we're willing to kind of accept it. They would have been chanted. They would have been read aloud. They would have been shouted, sung with such passion with the accompaniment of some musical instruments. They might have sounded something like what I'm about to show you in just a minute. This is a modern psalm. It's done in Hebrew. And we're only going to listen to about 45 seconds of it because it's done in Hebrew. And none of us, some of us might know a little bit of Hebrew, but none of us are very fluent in the Hebrew language. Now, in this video, you'll see three different lines. The first line is Hebrew, and it reads right to left. They got it right the first time. We read and write left to right. They read right to left. So when heaven comes or when you go off to heaven and you don't understand anything or you can't read anything, you understand why. Now, that was a little Hebrew joke that flashing back on for Hebrew class. Oh, it'll go from right to left. The English of the Hebrew will be underneath it. And then our English language will be underneath it. Three lines. Hebrew, English, Hebrew, and then English. Just let this soak in for just a minute. This is out of Psalm 27 that'll be up on the screen. It's just a couple verses. And Psalm 27 is a praise psalm. We're going to read a lament psalm in just a minute. But just let this soak in. Now, if you're at all interested in listening to these, there are a ton of these on YouTube. I know some of you might not be, but that's okay, if it tickles your fancy. A ton of these are on YouTube that you can go and watch and just engage in. This is ancient language that is beautiful and that is powerful. If we're just kind of willing to accept it, it might be foreign to us. But at the same time, there is beauty and there is power in the Hebrew language. So, if you're all interested in it, check it out on YouTube. Maybe, just maybe, we would be willing for the Psalms to impact us the way that they have for millions and millions of people. And what you will find astonishing is what you will not find in the Psalms. And that's mainly the fact that the Psalms are filled more with lament than with any other type of genre. 40% out of the 150 Psalms are lament. 28% are praises, or these 28% of these are praises, and 18% are thanksgiving and trust, and the other 14% are the kind of the other category, which are kingly psalms, which are creation psalms, they're wisdom psalms, they're wise sayings, if you will. There's some proverbish type of language in there. So within all of these, lament is the most used genre out of all of these. Almost, I mean, it's remarkable if you think about it. 40% out of the 150. So why so many laments? Can one really complain aloud to God? We have unintentionally tamed the power of the songs by having reduced them to praise songs. And this isn't Jared's fault. Jared just works with what he has. There aren't many lament psalms in our hymnals if we were to look at them and read through them. They're just not there. And there's some intention in that because the psalms can be, I mean, laments can be awkward. They really can be because we're not used to having or hearing complaining, if you will, but complaining in the direction of the one who can do something about it, or just expressions of release, of I don't know what to do with this, I don't know why life is this way, I don't know why this is happening. God, can you do something about this? If that were to take place in our Sunday morning assembly, what would happen? There'd be a lot of people squirming in their seats. There'd be a lot of, let's leave. It would be awkward. But 40% of Jesus's and Paul's hymnal are laments. Just let that soak in as well. Through lament, God invites His people to speak the truth of their lives, their pain, and their confusion to the one who can do something about it. One more thing about lament is the misunderstanding of what lament is. Lament for the lamenter is not a downer. The lamenter is not a pessimist. He doesn't have a negative outlook on life. But lament is a necessary expression of faith. Lament sustains hope. Lament transforms. Lament enables perseverance. Lament empowers. Lament gives hope. Lament yields. Lament leans into hope because embedded in the lament is an appeal that arises out of trust in the God whose love is forever. Lament is the mode by which hope is reborn. And this is just not within the religious world. This is found in the secular world as well. This next video we're going to watch is done by Adele. And within this song, it's secular to the core. It's about a relationship. But this song is lament to the core. Here's just a few seconds of it. Lament to the core. And also, here's one that's going to throw you for a shocker. How many Metallica fans? This right here is going to get it. This right here is going to get it. We're going to separate the sheep and the goats right here, right now. How many Metallica fans we got in here? All right, now we got some honesty going on. As our shepherds turn around and look back, I'm meeting with all of you this week, including this guy up here. One powerful song from Metallica that is lament is the song One. Not only is it 15 minutes long, but it's beautiful. It's 15 minutes of pure, great musical, just everything. But it's lament to the core. God help me is over and over and over in that song. And that is lament 101. God help me. If we were real about our pain, if we were real about our struggle, if we were real about our messed upness, I think we would lament more, but we bottle it all in. And we wind up releasing it on things that never, ever help. Whether it's drugs, whether it's pornography, whether it's abuse, whatever it may be. For some, it's cutting. We bottle all the pain in the world. And instead of releasing it healthy with God, I don't know what's going on. Help me. We release it in ways that are destructive. We release it in ways that God never intended for us to release. He's big enough. His shoulders are broad enough to take on our complaining. There were 3 million of them we looked at last week that were forgetful, fearful, and delusional. And what's the first thing out of the lips of Moses from Yahweh? Do not be afraid. Be still. He can take our lamenting. We just don't give it to him. And he's given us a resource by which to use it with. We'll eventually get to Psalm 22. Very quickly, how the Psalms have impacted my life. My dad passed on March 4th of 2006. On the screen, you'll see a picture of his tombstone. And without the Psalms, I would have had no release. Because there was nothing, that train wreck that was the last few kind of years of my dad's life in the few months was just straight down. Everything we tried, every chemo treatment, everything that we tried to do, something got in the way of him getting well. Everything. And Psalm 116 was a release for me by which I did not have language on my own, but it gave me language with which I could release all of my frustration, all of my anger, all of my confusion, everything that went on during that time. Psalm 116 gave me that release. It gave me language I did not know that I had. Okay, Psalm 22. I'm going to read the first 21 verses, and then I'm going to pause, and then we'll do just a little bit of reflecting on this, and then before you know it, our time will be done. Psalm 22, beginning in verse 1. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out to you by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet, if you underline in your Bibles, and I hope you do, you need to underline every yet or every but, B-U-T, that you find within the pages of Scripture, because it's setting something up and then God jumps in. Yet and but in the story of Scripture is saying God is about to do something. Yet, you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. This is what God has done. All my fears, all my enemies right in front of me. And look at what God has done. What started with, my God, why have you forsaken me, has turned into a bunch of yets and buts. You, God, will not abandon me. When all seems lost and our fear and our forgetfulness and our delusion begins to get the best of us, this is where the Psalms come into play and reveal to us, you can bring all your fears, you can bring all your forgetfulness, you can bring all your delusion, and watch what I will do for you. Look at these words from Psalm 27, some of which we heard sung in Hebrew. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. When my friends, when my family, when my neighbors, when my coworkers, when my wife, when my husband, when whoever forsakes me, Lord, do not forsake me. Receive me when no one else will. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Words from Psalm 27, which is a praise psalm at its core. But yet it speaks to us, because there's not a single one of us in this room that have not been abandoned by somebody. There's not a single one of us in this room who have not been let down by somebody. And yet this psalm speaks to our pain and to our struggle and to our abandonment. Even if my mother and father forsake me, two of the most closest relationships we'll ever have in our lives. Even if my mom and dad turn their back on me, Yahweh, Adonai, Lord, receive me. Psalm 22, 22 through the rest of the psalm. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor Him. Revere Him, all you descendants of Israel. For He has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden His face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. for these last few moments that we have this morning, wrestling with Psalm 22. Some of us are very familiar with this passage because it comes out of Matthew 27, verse 46, where we hear Jesus from the cross crying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there's also echoes of the cross event. They divided my clothes among them. All my bones are on display. They're out of whack. There are echoes of the cross scene found in Psalm 22. But we have focused on those and we haven't looked at the totality of it. This psalm is not a psalm of abandonment. This psalm is a psalm of hope. This psalm is a psalm of trust. And that's why Jesus spoke it. That's why he declared it from the cross. It wasn't so much that God had turned his back on him and that God couldn't look on what was going on. It was his son. Of course he saw it. Of course he felt it. Jesus echoes this psalm for us to hear and for us to read when we cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And every one of us will feel that. It's not that God has abandoned us. We have to get down to where it yet you are enthroned. You are king. You are still in charge. In spite of it all. God never abandoned Jesus on the cross. He was right there with him. And that's why Jesus announces this psalm for us, for all of his followers, for all time. When we experience the my God, we have hope and we have trust that there's this yet coming. There is this but God will do something about it. Jared, if you want to bring your team on up. In Acts 2, verses 22 through 31, we won't take the time to read that this morning. We're going to bring our service to a close. I encourage you to go back and read it because that's exactly how Peter interpreted what was going on at the cross. And if you look at Acts 2, verses 22 through 31, you hear Peter through Luke, through Peter, echoing Psalm 16. Echoing once again another psalm. I would invite all of us to stand. The Psalms give us language and clarity in the midst of our darkest and most confusing times. So when my world comes crashing down, and yes, it will, may our hearts cry out to us, seek his face. And may we declare, your face, Lord, I will seek. When our hearts cry out to us, when we pull back all the barriers and all the blockades that we put up from hearing God's voice, when our hearts cry out, seek his face, may we declare, your face, Lord, I will seek. Let's worship together.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus.
Dismiss you to our classes with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, but to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, both now and forevermore. Amen. Seek his face, church.